Good morning and welcome to Listen Local, the bi-weekly webcast from neighborhood news source Mission Local. You might have noticed more bikes than usual on the road today. That's because it's Bike to Work Day. Chris Cassidy from the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition is with me today to talk about all things cycling. Chris, welcome.
Hey, Laura. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I wanted to ask to begin with, do a lot of people start cycling on this day, on Bike to Work Day?
Yeah, it's actually a huge day for people embracing cycling for the first time. We do a member survey of our 10,000 plus members at the SF Bicycle Coalition about once every other year or so. And last time we did it, 10% of members indicated that they started biking on Bike to Work Day.
Wow.
So that's 1,000 people, right? More or less, that not just began biking and changed how they get around our city, but then got so into it that they became members. And now, you know, they're volunteering and they're speaking up at City Hall and making a difference. So it's a really important day for our city.
That's actually pretty impressive. I should also mention, as a disclaimer, because cycling is a touchy topic in San Francisco, that I am a member of the San Francisco Bicycle Coalition, although I did not start biking on Bike to Work Day. It's just something that I've always done.
We couldn't do it without members, so thanks for being a member, Laura.
I want to ask about people's experiences. So you clearly have your finger on the pulse of sort of how people get into this. What are their experiences like? Not every day is a pleasant day to be biking in San Francisco, or anywhere for that matter. It can be a little scary. I've heard from some people who don't bike that they're just afraid because, you know, cars. And I'm sure there's positive experiences too. What have you heard?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, there are a range of experiences and relationships with biking in San Francisco. Some folks are just entirely positive about it and just cannot imagine their lives without the fun and freedom of biking. And those same folks and other folks also definitely have some bad experiences. I have close calls biking in and around SF. There are also conflicts with folks maybe, say, taking Uber or driving or things like that. And I just, for my own peace of mind, try to turn back to realizing that anytime there's a conflict, it's just everybody realizing that the infrastructure is inadequate. So in a situation where there are protected bike lanes, like the ones that were just complete on 8th or 7th or Division, really close to the Mission, really important route for folks getting to Soma from the Mission, when I get to ride protected infrastructure like that, it reminds me of why I'm doing this work, because when you offer people that kind of infrastructure, it really makes biking more welcoming to more people. So I was just talking to somebody right before the show here about how good the streets feel today on Bike to Work Day. And most importantly, perhaps, how many more women are out biking. We know that in the U.S., 1/4 of people biking identify as women. In SF, we're doing marginally better, but we still have a long way to go. 1/3 of people biking identify as women in SF. So,
what is that about? Why?
Data suggests that it's hard to get at people's reasons for biking or not biking.
Sure.
But the data does suggest that when you build protected infrastructure, many more women come out and bike. So I think we've made some really big strides in some streets in San Francisco. We obviously have our work cut out for us. I don't know if you've been on Market Street lately. We just got 2 blocks of protected bike lanes approved there. But it's one of the most bike corridors in North America, and there should be protected bikeways all the way from the Embarcadero through Octavian up into Upper Market.
So there is some disagreement on that point, especially on Market Street. We talked about this a little bit before the show, but it is a point of contention because the fire department has expressed concerns that they won't be able to raise their aerials, I believe, if they can't park right next to the curb when they're responding to fires, because they'll be under the overhead wires for Muni. I report on a lot of fires. I really appreciate the fire department and how they are responding. That makes me nervous.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we are so grateful to the work of the men and women at the San Francisco Fire Department. And I personally believe that their work is second to no other fire department. They work with narrow streets, they work with tall buildings, and they do a fantastic job. I actually just saw the public data for the last month, I think it was, of the situations that they're responding to on that stretch of Upper Market where the MTA just approved 2 blocks of protected bike lanes. And actually, 53% of the incidents they respond to in that space are actually collisions. So it's really important that we're tackling the root cause of safety issues. In this instance on Upper Market, that's largely collisions. It makes sense because it is a high injury corridor. It also has one of the most dangerous intersections in the country at Market and Octavia. That said, it's also really important to acknowledge that when we're building protected infrastructure on the streets, there are accommodations made to make sure that the fire department can continue to do their job as well as they do. And I know that the SFMTA made really huge efforts to accommodate some of the concerns that the fire department raised. And they actually made it such that on these two blocks, there are only 10 feet that remain where the fire department's complaints may remain valid on each of these two blocks. So I'm really impressed with the flexibility of the SFMTA and the intelligence of their designers and their ability to accommodate what are potentially really valid concerns from the fire department.
And so those 10 feet of space, do you think those conflicts will be resolved?
Those 10 feet of space are spaces where it may be more challenging for a fire to navigate around the overhead wires that are on Market Street there. But the fact that it's just 10 feet on each block gives me hope that the fire department can navigate those 10 feet of building space by moving to the space either immediately before or behind those spaces on Market Street.
Mm-hmm. And so the way that this is arranged is that there will be basically the curb and then the bike lane and then a parking lane, right? And the fire trucks would have to park farther away from the curb beyond the parking lane. Is that right? Or would they be able to park in the bike lane?
The fire trucks can fit in a bike lane when you're talking about just a normal fire truck. We've mm-hmm. seen this actually on the new bike lanes on 7th and 8th. Mm-hmm. The aerial trucks are significantly wider, however. So there are 10 feet on each block where the fire truck would have to park outside of the parallel parking lane.
Mm-hmm. And then that's where they would be, end up underneath the overhead wires.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, infrastructure is tricky. And every time that bike infrastructure in particular comes up, it's something that people who spend most of their time or most of their transit time not on bicycles are pretty sensitive to. Do you have a sense of why that is?
I think empathy is hard for a lot of people, including people who bike, people who drive. And if we're not able to see the world from each other's perspectives, then it's going to be hard to understand why somebody might behave in a certain way. I think every time I bike down Valencia, it's definitely an exercise in empathy. I am constantly wondering why, for instance, somebody might drop off a passenger in a bike lane. But when I get frustrated with other people's behaviors, again, I just try to remember that this isn't about people behaving badly. You're never going to remove the questionable or unpredictable behavior from people.
Unless you're Stanley Roberts.
This is about infrastructure. And on Valencia, which was a massive victory for the Bicycle Coalition in the 90s to get that striped unprotected bike lane approved. Now, these days, if you're biking down Valencia, you're weaving in and out of traffic around double parked cars. So what we know of Valencia is true on streets across San Francisco, and that is the infrastructure is just not where it needs to be to meet people's needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I noticed on Valencia, of course, I also noticed that there are people parked in the bike lanes and that, you know, people also stand in the bike lanes when they're waiting to cross the street and they don't seem to think that bicycles coming down the road are something they need to move out of the way for. There's all sorts of frustrations there. I mean, I'll be less kind than you. I'd get a little bike ragey. But I have to say that there's also some really poor behaviors among cyclists. I mean, I've ridden past people who make a habit of thumping cars, their hands on the roofs of cars if they're parked in the bike lane as they go by. They just slam their hand down on top. Like, that is scary. If I'm a driver and that happens to me, nothing is physically endangering me, but like, I don't like that so much. And I think that's where some of these, you know, I mean, those and other behaviors are where cyclists get a kind of not so great reputation, and why, you know, people are really mad sometimes about more cyclists using a road. What can we do as cyclists who maybe don't have those habits to reduce that impression?
Well, that's a great point. There are some bad behaviors exhibited by everybody on our streets. Mm-hmm. I cannot recommend acting aggressively or scaring people.
Yes, nor can I.
I'm with you, Laura, that being kind and trying to exercise our empathy muscles is really important in all contexts, including in sharing space on our streets. At the Bicycle Coalition, we have free classes. Unfortunately, somebody who's biking aggressively may not realize that they could afford half an hour or an hour in one of our free classes where we talk about the rules of the road and best practices for being safe and being kind as somebody biking on San Francisco streets. But really, again, when you're talking about people being frustrated with each other, it sounds to me like the infrastructure is not where it needs to be to meet people's most basic needs of getting to where they need to go safely.
What would an ideal infrastructure look like to prevent frustrations and conflicts of this kind?
There are some really good bike lanes that have recently been built in San Francisco. Closest to the Mission is Division, starting in front of Rainbow and then going towards San Francisco's only protected intersection at 9th and Division. Mm-hmm. The SFMTA used, I think, three different treatments to provide three different types of physically protected bike lanes on that stretch. As you're going east from Rainbow, first, there's some soft hit posts, just kind of with a very narrow separation between faster moving traffic and the bike lanes.
And a soft hit post, for somebody who doesn't do this all the time, is?
A soft hit post are those plastic bollards. They've been in the news most recently with the wonderful vigilante folks at SFMTRA.
I was going to bring those up. What is the SFMTRA? And tell me about what they did for those of us who haven't been keeping up.
Sure. So the SFMTRA, meaning I believe SF Municipal Transformation Authority or agency, obviously a pun on SFMTA. And it's a group of safety advocates that have taken more of a direct action approach to delivering safe streets that really everybody in San Francisco deserves. So they've taken a couple different actions. I believe they physically protected the Golden Gate Avenue.
They also did this on Valencia Street, I believe, farther south, sort of toward Bernal Heights, but still in the Mission.
They put up the plastic bollards, those uh-huh. soft hit posts we were talking about. On May 1st, though, they actually, instead of using plastic soft hit posts, went out during the morning commute on Golden Gate Avenue and physically protected the bike lane with their bodies.
Wow.
About 20 folks were out there standing in that buffered section, that unprotected painted buffer that too often has been crossed by cars, especially during morning commute hours. And they provided cyclists going down what the Department of Public Health identifies as a high injury corridor, Golden Gate Avenue. And they stood so that cars couldn't infringe on the bike lane. And I went out, heard that they were out there, and I rode it, and it felt amazing. And that's the kind of protected infrastructure that the Bicycle Coalition is fighting for, as fast as we can, obviously, but that isn't always as fast as people deserve. But the SFMTRA is out there doing what they can with more of a vigilante to direct action approach. I find it inspiring.
I think it's also a little bit funny. I mean, just amazing that we have this group of people who go out in the dead of night and install infrastructure. The rebels of San Francisco.
It really speaks to how passionate San Francisco is about our streets. You know,
yes.
The SF Bicycle Coalition, before I took this role on 2 years ago today, I asked a friend who works in politics in San Francisco, hey, I know the SF Bicycle Coalition is a really big deal and they're supposed to be, you know, pretty effective, but what's the inside scoop? What can you tell me? And this is somebody who's worked in San Francisco politics for a long time, and she looked me in the eye and said, it's probably the most effective advocacy organization in San Francisco. So I am just so grateful to be a part of this this organization, and none of it would be possible without 10,000 plus members who are extremely passionate, who open the emails and then forward them on, send their own very strongly worded emails to city leaders, show up at City Hall, most recently on a Tuesday afternoon to get Upper Market Street protected bike lanes approved. I cannot tell you how inspired I've been by our members day in and day out on this job. And they're a passionate bunch, and I'm so grateful for their passion and their efforts.
Let's talk big picture. Why would anybody advocate for more bicycles on the road in San Francisco?
It's a great question, and there are lots of reasons. People frustrated with congestion might see a better use of space, that being people getting around by bikes, than, say, their own private automobiles. People who are concerned about the environment know that we need to reduce carbon emissions if we're going to make a dent in climate change. People who care about community health, public health, know that when people bike, not only are they getting personal health benefits. There was a study out of the UK, I think it was published last month, indicating that there are massive health benefits, including reduced, like a 40% reduction in your chance of cancer by embracing cycling in your life. But also, by hopping on a bike, you, as opposed to, say, riding around in your own personal automobile, you're much more likely to expose other people to danger. We know that...
Much more likely or much less likely?
Excuse me, much less likely when you're biking to expose other folks to mm-hmm. danger. We know that the five traffic violations that are most likely to result in a collision are people driving, speeding, failing to yield the right-of-way, illegal turns, running red lights, and running stop signs. And that's all behavior of people that are in large vehicles, you mm-hmm. know, cars, trucks. So there are some people that, you know, folks should have the right to choose to get around however they want. But the bottom line is when we build the infrastructure that welcomes more people into biking, the whole city benefits through public health, through less healthcare costs for the individual cyclists and in most situations, and through reducing congestion.
Yeah, and I have to say personally, the reason why I bike nearly everywhere most of the time is it's usually faster than other modes of transportation, unless I'm going up a lot of hills, which of course in San Francisco is a factor. I have found that, you know, for example, my commute to work is much shorter. It's about half the time if I'm riding my bike than if I'm taking the bus. I don't drive, so I can't imagine what it would be like, you know, to have to do that commute in a car. I'm guessing that it might be a little bit shorter en route, but then there's the parking problem, which of course everybody who has a car is very familiar with in San Francisco. So there's certainly a you know, time-saving practical aspect that is immediately tangible as well. And I wanted to ask, because we didn't do this at the beginning, I wanted to ask about resources for people who bike today, might be listening, and think biking could work for them more than it has so far. Where can they go for help if they have questions about how to do stuff? What resources are there for them if, you know, they need some kind of equipment? What if they need help after they've gotten into a collision? You know, what are some resources for people to address kind of the concerns they might have about jumping into cycling habitually?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because there are a whole bunch of resources at sfbike.org, including a collision crash checklist, bicycle-friendly lawyers. But in terms of folks that are just considering biking for maybe the first or one of the first times, we actually offer a range of free classes. And those classes could be anything from adult learn to ride. You just never learned how to bike. Guess what? It's not too late. There are a whole bunch of people just like you. In fact, we just had one of these classes and 25 people came out on a weekend day and learned to ride a bike for the first time all together. So those are really inspiring to attend and to witness.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's true. People like you and me who ride all the time might not consider that somebody just doesn't know how to ride a bike. Like, not everybody knows this. We're not born with this knowledge innately. How long does it take to learn to ride a bike?
I think that class is only a couple of hours. Okay. And generally, almost everyone learns how to ride by the end of the class. So really impressive instructors working in that class. We also have classes for folks that are a little bit more experienced, but maybe not as comfortable biking in, say, San Francisco specifically, or maybe a more urban setting than they're used to. So all of our free classes are at sfbike.org/edu. And anybody can register for those. You don't have to be a member of the Bicycle Coalition. If you want to be a member, you can become a member at a discount if you attend one of those classes, and we definitely welcome you to the movement.
And what about, you know, other resources like how to fix a bike? Where do I get a helmet that works for me? What happens if I got XYZ part of my bicycle stolen? etc.
These are some great questions, and I know there are a lot of bike shops around town that would be more than happy to answer some of those questions. And members, of course, of the Bicycle Coalition get discounts on parts at many of them, including Valencia Cyclery in the Mission, Pedal Revolution, which is an awesome nonprofit bike shop. In terms of how do I fix my own bike? There's another nonprofit called the Bike Kitchen that does classes every so often, and they do a range of classes, kind of like our classes are, you know, how experienced are you with biking? It doesn't matter. We've got a class for you. They have classes on bike maintenance. How experienced are you as a bike mechanic? It doesn't matter. They have a class for you. They've got the intro level. They've got the advanced levels.
They even have a class, I think, where you can, over a period of months, build entirely your own bicycle from parts, which I just think is so cool.
Yeah, they are really awesome folks. In addition to classes for everybody, you know, Laura, you and I were talking about how women are less likely to bike still in San Francisco than people who identify as men. There's a specific bike maintenance class at the Bike Kitchen for women, trans, and femme folk. Mm-hmm. So that program is really awesome and just kind of creating an especially welcoming space for folks that might be more reticent to embrace biking, I think, is really important.
Then there's also the issue of rules, like you mentioned, you know, how to follow the rules of the road. And I think this is something that maybe everybody could benefit from. I wrote a piece a while ago about how to turn right for Mission Local, which seems incredibly boring, but was actually, you know, it garnered some interest because people didn't know that there are rules about how to do this. There are rules about how you should conduct yourself as a cyclist as well. One of the things I learned in doing that story, which seems obvious but didn't really occur to me, is that if you get off your bicycle and into the crosswalk, you are now a pedestrian and should, you know, conduct yourself accordingly, and other people should conduct themselves accordingly around you. What are some tips that might not be totally intuitive for people using the road in any form about how you should do things in order to minimize injury?
Well, I think you raised right turns, and that's a problem I see really frequently. Somebody who's driving, if they need to take a right turn through a bike lane, it's actually illegal and dangerous to hook right, to make a right hook from the auto lane itself. What people driving should do is to merge into the bike lane, obviously checking mirrors and blind spots and using blinkers, and then make that right turn from the bike lane. Now, talking about how people biking should behave around people who need to make a right turn, folks shouldn't sidle up on the right side and risk collision with somebody who's turning right, but instead should merge over to the left so that person can safely make the right turn. So that's one I see pretty frequently.
Are cyclists exempt from signaling when they have to go in and out of the bike lane?
No, the rules of the road apply equally to people biking, people driving. Using signals, stopping at stop signs, stopping at red lights, infringing on somebody's right of way. All this is really important to not just making sure that we're abiding by the rules of the road, but also setting a good example, because sometimes people do get frustrated with some more aggressive behaviors exhibited by people on bike. And if all of us go out every day and bike and try to set a good example, I think that'll go a long way towards us having more success in seeing streets delivered that meet our needs.
One thing that I just realized that I don't actually know a lot about, that I'm seeing more and more frequently, is these like mini Segways and motorized scooters and just like ultra tiny vehicles, for lack of a better term, that intuitively belong in the bike lane, and they usually are in the bike lane, but I'm not really sure how to behave around them. Sometimes they're faster than me up a hill. Sometimes I overtake them. What side am I passing them on? Do they have to signal? Like, what is the deal with these things?
That's a great question. And, you know, this might also apply just to people skateboarding in the bike lane.
Yes.
Or also, I biked around somebody rollerblading in the bike lane this week. So narrowing down on electrified boards, in 2015, California determined by legislation that these vehicles do belong in bike lanes. So that's the state of the law. That's where we're at on that.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of how to behave around folks, I think just one, as always and everywhere, do our best to be kind and empathetic. You know, I only in recent years have added a bell to my bike. I love my bell. Instead of, you know, some people might do something bad, like knock on a window of somebody aggressively who's parked in a bike lane.
Or just yell. Just
a little, yeah, or yelling, also, not kind. like a little bell might just kind of say, you know, kindly, like, hey, that's the space I'm supposed to be in, and now I'm out here as a result in faster moving traffic. I used my bell when I was going around the person rollerblading in the bike lane as well, just to say, you know, like, hey, coming up on your left. It's a relatively nice, delicate sound. Hopefully it doesn't startle anybody. And it's just kind of a kind gesture to say, hey, I'm just trying to share this space with you.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to be out of time fairly soon. Any parting thoughts for new cyclists, returning cyclists, anybody who's on the road today and wants to really jump in?
Today's a fantastic day to bike. The streets are never more welcoming and full of joy than Bike to Work Day, as far as I know. So in the Mission, there are a bunch of spots to stop by and get free stuff.
Free stuff!
Snacks,
where?
Candy, canvas tote bags. Until 11 on Valencia at 17th, there's a SF Bicycle Coalition Energizer Station staffed with volunteers who will be maybe even too happy to see you. They're very happy, excited folks here on Bike Christmas, Bike to Work Day. And then this evening, there's two different stations in the Mission. One is on Harrison Street at 17th, and that's going to be from 5 to 7. And then there's another spot on Valencia Street at 19th Street from 4:30 to 7 p.m. SF Bicycle Coalition member volunteers will be thrilled to see you and give you free stuff. While you're there, we've got rules of the road postcards to take with you as well.
Wow. So that is the lowdown. You heard it here first, folks. If you missed it this morning, you can still get goodies on Bike Christmas in the Mission this evening on your way home. Chris, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Such a treat to be here. Thanks, Laura.
We'll be back 2 weeks from today with news and narratives from the neighborhood. If you'd like to get in touch, shoot us an email at info@missionlocal.com or on Twitter @MLNow. Up next, back to the music. Keep it right here on BFF.FM. Thanks for listening.
She got a bike booty. She's a biker. Check out her booty. Rolling around all over town. Burning out the calories and burning the pounds. Getting where she needs to go. She moving fast while the cars are moving slow. Wreaking havoc on a two-wheel thing. And while she's rolling down the road, she sings. I'm a biker, got a bike booty. I'm a biker, check out my booty. She doesn't own a car or truck. Doing steady 20, traffic's all stuck. Works out on the way to work, cause life is a gym. She got a banging body, and she's getting toned and slim. She's a biker girl, she got a bike booty. She's a biker girl, check out her booty. She's a biker girl, she got a bike booty. She's a biker girl, check out her booty, check out her booty.
Marco. Hope